Hello, and welcome to the Child Care Business Coach Podcast. My name is Evelyn Knight. I hope everybody is having a wonderful day and you're looking forward to the great week ahead of you. It's been a while since I've done a solo podcast episode, but I have something really important to talk about today. If you're listening in the future, just to put some stuff into context, it is August of 2020 as I record this, and we're still going through the COVID-19 pandemic, and it really affects every facet of our lives right now. Our businesses, our personal, it's just a totally different world than the one we lived in this time last year. It just doesn't look the same. So one of the things that we're really facing right now is financial destruction of our industry as a whole. So that is what I really want to talk to you guys about today. Right now, the predictions and all the forecasts show that our industry could be decimated because of COVID-19. A lot of childcare centers closed down when the pandemic first started and they never reopened. A lot of them are reopened, a lot of them still are not reopened. With schools being up in the air, some of them are coming back virtually, some of them are coming back to normal. There's just so much uncertainty, and a lot of centers are following suit. The problem for many centers that are still closed is that it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for them to come back the longer it goes. The more finances and savings that are used up, the harder it's going to be. Many childcare center owners live week to week. They don't have more than a week's worth of tuition to pay their bills, so there's a lot that already can't make it back. So I was actually asked to speak to Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, and she had some questions for me and a couple other professionals about why we need this money so badly. Why is it that childcare isn't sustainable? So in case you did not know, there is a bill that the House just passed, but it still needs to make it through the Senate. It's called the Child Care is Essential Act. It's actually Senate Bill 3874. And basically, it's there to give our industry $50 billion in order to help us stay in business. That is what it's mainly designed for. Of course, I'm sure they've stuck other things in there, but that's pretty much is for our sustainability. Now, the CARES Act, there was another bill that went through a couple months ago that also served the same purpose. So I did talk to the senator about some of my concerns. Here in Nevada, where I'm located, Nevada did an amazing, wonderful job of getting the money out to us in child care centers. And the first grant that came out, they actually helped us pay 2 to 3 months worth of our operating expenses, which is just, I mean, as you guys know, that's just a godsend. For many of us, the PPP was just an absolute godsend and helped us get through. But for most of us, it's gone already. We've used it up. So then what, right? Then there's the EIDL, which is a loan that we're going to have to pay back. So that's when Nevada took the CARES Act money and basically decided we're just going to help centers stay open. We're going to help them stay in business. And that's pretty much what they did, which is amazing compared to so many other states out there where they're tying it in with subsidy, or they're only giving you guys enough stipend to help with emergency supplies, or I've heard of technology grants and different things like that with the money. So it is something I brought up, that if this money does go to the states, we need to make sure that the money goes to private childcare centers, not the public school system, not Head Start, but private childcare centers. The government agencies are going to make it just fine. We in the private sector are the ones who need help. I also talked to her about how difficult it can be for some of you for it to be tied to a subsidy. I mean, for some of us, we have plenty of subsidy. It helps a ton. But for others, there's just no subsidies children in your area. So we did discuss that a little bit. And just the technicality, but I did really stress to her the importance that we absolutely need this funding for us to survive the long haul. According to the conversation I had with her, they do not think that there will be a vaccine until anywhere from March till June of next year. So that means if we have to sustain the financial burden that we're seeing right now, then how long is our savings going to get by? How long is it going to get us by? Right? So a couple things I want you guys to, I have a couple of call to actions for you, I should say. And the first I'm going to tell you is each and every one of us needs to get a hold of our senators and get a hold of your local childcare licensing, your Department of Education, everybody involved in this money, right? In the show notes, I am going to list the contact information for how you find your senators, your representatives on the state and federal level, okay? So go to the show notes, find out how you get a hold of them and send them an email. Mention them on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, you know, hashtag them, tag them and stuff, but we've got to get the word out on this. So first of all, we want them to vote yes, of course, on the Child Care is Essential Act, right? But we also want them to understand why. That is a big one. In order to get them to do the vote, they got to understand why we need this money so bad. So during my conversation with Senator Masto, one of the things that came up, she did ask me, well, what my numbers were like. And I told her, you know, pre-COVID, I was at 110 to 115 children a day. Then I dropped to 27. And that was devastating. We sat there for maybe just a month. It wasn't very long. And by the way, I never closed my center. So about a month, we sat at about 27 children. And then we did hop back up to 50 and, you know, so on. And now my center is about 75. And mainly that's because of social distancing and trying to keep up with all of the criteria we have to follow. I can't go back to that 110, 115 children until things are a little bit more stable. So I explained that to her and she asked me, well, if your numbers drop like that, then why didn't your bills drop? And I basically had to explain to her what a fixed cost is and how our costs don't go down. And I did point out that the only thing that we have control of as childcare owners and directors is payroll, our own wages, right? And food. That's pretty much it. The, like with the snacks or the supplies that we've for the children, right? But when it came to like cleaning supplies, my bill on that actually went up because now instead of just sanitizing twice a day, we're sanitizing every 2 hours. My bill on supplies went up because each child has to have their own individual everything, which is ziplocked. And so now there's no more sharing. So where some costs can go down, other costs went up. And nobody in the government wants to, you know, be responsible for people losing their jobs. So I did mention to her, the only other thing I can do is completely cut my own pay and lay off employees. That's really it. Whether I have 115 children in my building or 30, I still have to run the air conditioners. I still have to run the lights. The water is still being used. That doesn't change. It doesn't change. So what I would encourage you is when you're reaching out to your local representatives, mention that. Help them to understand what it really looks like. Got to realize that a lot of these people don't really have, unfortunately, the real world experience that we have. They don't know what it's like to be an owner that is struggling. They've never signed a payroll check. They don't know what it's like to have that kind of responsibility on your shoulders. I kind of joke that every person in politics should have had to sign a payroll check so that they know just what kind of responsibility it is to carry somebody's wages and their living, you know, the living that they're earning. But that's something just to keep in mind is that they don't know why. And to them, they're looking for that logic. I explained it. I asked basically the senator, if you were to lose your job, would your bills change or do they stay the same? They don't change. Your mortgage is still there. Everything is still there. So why would our bills change? What makes you think that it's any different, right? So that was really eye-opening to her and just telling her the stories of the people I've talked to out there. And there was an in-home provider on with me and she told her the story of how they had to tap into her husband's 401k to keep things going. And it was just a pretty emotional call, but it makes me really glad to know that we're on their radar. And it's so important that we stay there. We're being seen right now, but we have to do the advocacy work in order to stay there. In our industry, we complain so much about not being seen as professionals. We complain about low wages. We complain about a lot, but I have to stop and ask you, what have you done about it? Are we doing anything about it? Are we advocating? I spend a lot of my time in advocacy works. I do volunteer. I work with the Children's Advocacy Alliance a lot and just do different things because I understand that if we're going to really get change, we as a collective whole need to start stepping up and making our voice heard. If you're not on my Facebook group, I highly encourage you to join. I do a weekly videos. Sometimes I do a couple a week, and last week I actually did about five, and I talk a lot about this. I do have an entire unit in my Facebook group on advocacy work and just how, what we can do, where we can go with it. So be sure to check that out. It really is helpful. And if we're really going to get our industry to where we want it, the recognition we want, the pay scale, we need to be heard. We've got to have a voice, and that's going to have to come from us. So the next thing I want to touch on a little bit, as great as it is to get this funding, I really strongly believe that the funding needs to be temporary. And here's why. I see a lot of owners and directors talking about how, well, you know, we need to be funded and this and that so we can pay our teachers more. And I don't disagree, but I do have a big problem with that. One of the things, and one of my biggest fears is that whenever the federal government gets involved in anything, it turns out to be such a red tape and bureaucratic nightmare to get anything done. If you talk to a Head Start teacher, they'll tell you that 50% of their time is spent doing paperwork, not the children. And there's just so much technicalities that they just can't stand the what things they have to go through and changes that are made. And just, I mean, even something as simple as buying assessments, you know, everything has to be approved. Everything has to go through a board. It's just not fun. I mean, same thing with the public school system. Nothing seems to get done because of unions and just all of the approvals things have to go through. And that is just not something I know I don't want it for my own center. So I don't know about you, but it isn't something I want for my center. So think about that. The second thing on that note that really does scare me is if you look at the K-12 system in the United States, we are 34th in the world. People, our nation is ranked 34th in quality. That means there are 33 countries around the world that have better education systems than the United States. Just let that sink in. We should have the best education system in the world. But our K-12 system is so bogged down by the red tape and the bureaucracy. Right? They are so overly regulated that it really just cripples the system. I don't know how many teachers I talk to all the time that is their biggest frustration is they just can't just do the best for their children. They've got to follow this hoop and that hoop. And it's something that I think we really need to think about. Early childhood education in the United States is very, very high quality. We are one of the best in the world. We are not the top five, but we're really good. And I really do believe it's because we aren't bogged down by all that bureaucracy and red tape. We are also competitive with each other, right? So our quality standards have to be higher in order to compete with our competition. You take that competition aspect away, and it really does take away from that need to rise to the top when it comes to quality standards. So competition can be really healthy. It keeps us aware. It keeps us on our toes. It keeps us better, right? And if we get sucked into the public system, I don't even know what business would look like, to be honest. But also, if we're all the same, then where does that quality go, right? If we're all the same and we're all bogged down doing all this paperwork and having to just get approvals for everything, what happens to our quality? What happens when all of that attention and time that we can put into the children now suddenly has to go to dealing with all the red tape, all the forms we had to fill out, all the reports, all the accountability and stuff for the money we're getting, right? So I would really caution you to think about it. Getting the funding sounds fantastic. I get it. I know. I would absolutely love to pay my teachers more, but at what cost? We really need to stop and ask ourselves that. Are there other alternatives? Absolutely. Maybe we could get funded through a voucher system, which will keep the competition and keep the government out of our centers, right? And of course, we're still regulated. I mean, we have our state regulations and whatnot, but I just don't want to be eaten up by the public system. I want to stay private. There's a reason private schools have a better reputation than public, and parents pay to have their children in private schools because the quality that comes out is so much higher. It is significantly different. Just think about that, you guys. Just let it really sink into your head that 34th in the world in quality, right? K through 12. We do not want to become K through 12. We are better than that. So the other idea I have, and again, this is going to take advocacy work, is the voucher system, like I was saying. Voucher system basically would allow parents to choose what centers they go through. So if we do end up getting eaten up by the federal government, voucher systems would be a way to go, because then it does keep that competitive. It does keep us free of that bureaucracy. It really just... it helps to fund us so that we can achieve those higher quality standards by paying teachers more and whatnot, right? Speaking of the higher quality standards, one of the things I know a lot of owners think, and I was once upon a time an owner who thought that it was impossible to get to high quality standards, making what I made at my center, and I just couldn't afford to do it. And I can tell you that is so wrong. High quality does cost a little bit more to run. It doesn't cost as much as you think, though. Didn't cost nearly as much as I thought. I was so scared to go through with it because I thought it was going to cost me so much money. And it turns out that I was just so wrong about how much it really does cost. So I would just caution you to really look into that. If you're not already adhering to high quality research-based standards, right? So if you have a quality rating scale in your state that you're afraid to go for, if you're afraid to go for accreditation, anything like that, it's not as expensive as you might think. And it is so incredibly worth it. When I raised my standards and went high quality, I was able to increase my rates substantially. And the difference is night and day. If that's something that you think you would like some help with, please reach out to me. My company, Child Care Business Professionals, does help owners and directors learn how to manage the business of child care in order to find success financially and to reach high quality research-based standards. It's what I specialize in. I was once a failing owner. I once almost lost my center. I learned how to become a business-minded person. I learned how to run business. And that really changed everything for me. I literally went from almost getting evicted out of my building to being able to save us, still be there 10 years later, and just learn how to turn a profit. But unfortunately, most owners and directors, we are not business people. We are moms usually, or teachers who were promoted up, and then we became business leaders, but we don't know anything about business fundamentals. So when I set on the journey to really learn that, it was a game changer for me. Not only did it raise my center's quality, but it also helped me to actually start turning a profit. So again, reach out to me. I will put my website in the show notes. Look up my Facebook page, connect with us. I do a lot of free trainings also in the Facebook group. I just completed a free training last week on increasing enrollment in your childcare center. So make sure to check that out. There's a lot of free resources that I provide for you guys, which I will put all that in the show notes also. So that's what I have for you guys today. Please be sure to check out those notes so that you can get your representatives' contact information and contact them. Again, you guys, we cannot complain about anything if we're not doing the work, right? We have no right to complain if we're not advocating for ECE. So I hope you have a beautiful week, and I hope you will join me again next week.